Good morning, welcome to Emmett Audio. It's a mild, misty day. Not really rainy, but it definitely rained last night. The spring peepers came out yesterday. It was a sunny, warm day, and they all hatched. And so it feels like spring. This is it. We might still get some snow, who knows, but when the spring peepers come out, it's spring. That's how it works in my book. So for the last, I don't know, since maybe November, I've been doing kettlebell swings in the driveway, waiting for the bus with my younger daughter on the 3 days a week that she takes the bus and we don't walk to school. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we've been doing kettlebell swings. I think she has a 10-pound kettlebell. I've been using a 22. I tried using a 40 for a while, but I wasn't able to keep up with what she was able to do with the 10, so I switched back to the 22, and that seems to be better in terms of not challenging me so much that I can't push her. And when we started out, she could do 10 kettlebell swings before she complained that she couldn't do it anymore. And for a while, we just stuck with kettlebell swings. We just slowly built up to the point where we were doing 100 each time that we were doing it in different groupings, and then at some point, maybe a month ago, she just like banged out 100 without stopping, and then maybe a week after that, she banged out 200 without stopping, and at that point, I thought, okay, we better start adding in more things to the mix. So, like for instance, today we did a mix of regular swings and American style swings, where you bring the kettlebell up higher. We were alternating them. That was fun. We did some skipping and high knees drills. We did some lunges, side lunges, holding the kettlebell. We did some halos, which she found very difficult in the past. We've done overhead presses. We've done any number of things. Goblet squats, gorilla rows, farmer's carries. Any number of things with kettlebells, and we even 2 days ago started doing one-handed swings where you switch at the sort of float point at the top, you switch hands, and she's doing that quite easily as well. And you know, it's so exciting to see progress like that. I think it's easier to see progress in other people than it is to see it in yourself. But I know when I started out, when I got my first kettlebell, I could barely do 10 kettlebell swings. And that was with the 40 pounder, but even so, I'm easily 4 times stronger than her. And you know, now it's not a big deal to do 10 anymore. And I'm so glad that we started, because, well, I think about this a lot. My 90-year-old grandmother would say, the time would have passed anyways, right? We were waiting for the bus anyways. And we could either spend that time standing around, stamping our feet, feeling cold, or we could be focused on doing this thing that's building the skill and capacity in both my daughter and myself. I mean, you know, it's not crazy workout for me, but it's definitely more than if I was doing nothing. And I think it's important to recognize that for each of us, the time is passing. And what you do with that time will define what you're capable of doing in the future. And if you don't use your time well, then you remain where you were, stuck in some capacity in what you were previously able to do. And And also, I think it's a good reminder of how quickly we can progress and go from an inability to do something to an ability to do something. And I'm really happy that that my younger daughter now has this vocabulary of doing this, that when she goes off to middle school next year, that she will have had these months of doing this with me. And I'm not sure what the pattern will look like after that. You know, I think if she's getting up the same time as the older daughter, well, maybe we figure out how to do, you know, figure out how to do stuff together, using kettlebells together. You know, one of the things that I think often throws us off in these moments is, yeah, can you hear all the frogs? And those aren't even the spring peepers. Those are just the, I don't know, the woods frogs or whatever they are. Not woods frogs. Whatever your standard frog is. I love it. So, you know, what makes sense to do when changes with the seasons. And I think when we make plans of like, yeah, I'm going to start doing this thing, we think to ourselves, I'm going to do this thing and that's what I'm going to do from here on out. And it's going to be the same in all seasons. And it's a very short-sighted view of how to train. Because ideally training should change with the seasons. And I think I'm pretty good with this with the dailies, where I change them every 3 months and so they get updated to what can happen. So for instance, I just started doing sled drags again because, well, the snow is gone and the grass is firmed up enough to the point where I don't think I'm going to damage it by pulling the sled over it. A month ago, I couldn't do sled drags because that wasn't the case. So sled drags are something that I can do at certain times of year, but not at others. My older daughter and I have had this wonderful pattern for the last 2 months of getting up at 5:30. And, well, at first, actually in the fall, we were sprinting. And then the snow came and we couldn't do that. So then we were getting up and what were we doing? Can't remember if we were doing exercises. I think maybe we were doing some exercises. But then it became clear that with all the dancing she's doing for the musical, that what we really needed to be doing was stretching. So now we've been doing stretching in front of the wood stove. Well, in a month or two, we're not going to be lighting the wood stove in the mornings. So that's no longer like as nice a thing to do when you're not lounging in front of the firelight. So what makes sense to do then? She's starting track on Monday. The play's this weekend. She's starting track on Monday. And I think we'll have to feel out what she's up for. But in a couple months, when it doesn't make sense to stretch anymore, or a month or so, when it doesn't make sense to stretch anymore, maybe it makes sense for us to go out for a walk. Or maybe it makes sense to do some sprinting drills, depending on what she's doing for track. You know, if she's not running for track, maybe it'd be good cross training for her to do some sprints in the morning with me. And then, you know, go throw javelins or shot puts or whatever it is that she wants to do. The rest of the time. Or maybe it makes sense for us to cross train, depending on what she's doing. And similarly, next fall, we'll have to feel out what makes sense for the fall. But the point is that it's sort of constantly changing. And so the question to ask yourself is like, what pattern can I establish now that will hold for the next month or two, or probably 3 months is the maximum, that will be the right pattern to give me what I need in this moment? And that's a more helpful question to ask than saying, you know, what habit do I need to establish now that I'm going to do forever? Because that's not the reality of our lives. And I think a lot of times what happens is we think, I'm going to establish a habit forever. And then when circumstances change, you drop the habit, but you don't replace it with the next step, the next progression. You just drop the habit. And that's how you revert, you know? You take some martial arts class when you have space in your life to do so. And when you no longer have space in your life to do so, because life changes, seasons change, etc., you stop taking the class, but you don't replace it with the next thing. You just stop doing it. I think that's the key, you know? My girls are growing up, and I have this time with my younger daughter. Next fall, she's going to be driving into school with my wife. My wife drops them off this morning because it's on her way to work, so she's going to be leaving. And what does that pattern look like? What opportunities are available because of that? And, you know, and what do I want to encourage them to do? So, that's the thinking. Thank you for listening. Talk tomorrow.